this morning. I'm thankful to be able to be here. Thankful for everyone that's watching online. I will warn you, if you're watching online and you're coming at 11 o'clock, you're going to get the same sermon. Not because I like to do that, but because I feel like today's sermon is something that we all need. I feel like it's a place that we're at right now as a country and as a church, and I want to deal with it. This picture would represent disagreement. It would represent perhaps arguing and bickering and division, and no doubt from the beginning of creation, there's been this, right? There's always been people that disagree with one another. There's always been problems and difficulties. In fact, if you look at the country that we live in today, I mean, if you really think about it, should we really be called the United States of America? Probably not, right? I mean, we are fractured. We are all over the place, and there's riots in the streets, and there's so much division. You know, it's election season, right? Election season, and this is going to get a lot worse. I found this picture. I don't know how they come up with that, but they did. Think about that. Think how much division and disagreement there are between those two people. It's not a political sermon. I'm not even going in that direction. In fact, if you come down to our state, I don't watch much live TV. But every time I turn it on, and this morning I turned it on for a few minutes to see the weather, and these two going at each other, and they're supposed to be on the same side. Isn't that kind of odd? But you see, there's constant disagreement. There's disagreement between people and the police, and there's fights every night. I think I read something yesterday, for 54 nights in a row in Portland, Oregon, there's been a fight between the people, the protesters, and the police. And they had to use tear gas again a night or two ago because of the disagreement. And people just can't seem to come together on anything. And that's sad. Even in the world of sports. Sports have started back up, and I don't know how many people have told me, if they kneel during that national anthem, I'm not watching it anymore. I put this picture up here because I read about this guy, the only guy on the San Francisco Giants that did not kneel because he said he was a Christian. But disagreements, right? We can't even decide whether or not we should stand or kneel during the national anthem. Where are we today? Did you ever in your wildest imagination dream that we would be at a place in this country that it would get to this point? I didn't. In fact, I texted a friend of mine Friday, had a business question. And he called me. I didn't want him to call me back, but he called me. And for the next 45 minutes, he proceeded to tell me, if we don't do something, our children are not going to have a country. Probably right. I would say he's correct, and we're heading down the wrong path. And there's no doubt that you and I, we cannot compromise on some of these beliefs. You know, when it comes to our country, abortion is still sinful. Homosexuality is still sinful. All of these things are still sinful, and we can never compromise that belief. But here's the thing. I want people to respect my opinion, so therefore I can try to respect their opinion. And I can allow them to have their opinion. We are in the land of the free. But that's not what my lesson's about. My lesson is about something different. I want to talk about the church. You know, it's important. It's important that our country get back on the right path. It's important that we find some common ground, that we get back to being one nation under God. It's important that we stand together, but it's not near as important as the church. Because you see, our country is not going to get us to heaven. No, it's not. And it doesn't matter who's in the White House, because either one of those people are not going to get us to heaven. And they're not going to point us on the right path. They're not going to make us automatically being pleasing unto God. They're not going to do that. But yet, our religious beliefs and practices will. Now, when I talk about this lesson today, I'm not talking about things that we can compromise on when it comes to thus saith the Lord, because you see in Malachi 3 verse 6, the Bible says God doesn't change. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says the grass withers, the flower fadeth away, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It doesn't change. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, not one thing is going to change until it's all fulfilled, till it all comes to pass. And we will never compromise our beliefs when it comes to things like baptism is for the remission of sins. We will never compromise our beliefs on partaking of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week and using unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. We will never compromise our beliefs on a cappella singing, because that's what the Bible teaches. And the Bible doesn't change. But here's the thing I want to talk about today. There's a lot of disagreements today within the church. And it's not over doctrinal matters, are they? Everybody knows this. It's not hidden. It's something that's been made very public, and people are on all kind of different social media outlets and in person, and people talk about this and that. There are all kind of disagreements. But I'm going to tell you today, we can disagree over trivial things. We can disagree over things of opinion, and we can do that without division. Do we realize that? Do we realize that not everything in this, you know, that pertains to my religion, that pertains to this church here at Willow Avenue or wherever it is that you attend, not everything pertains to absolute doctrine? You know, sometimes there's things that pertain to opinion. There are things that pertain to an elder's discretion on a matter, and we don't always agree on those things. And I want to say that's okay to not always agree, but it's never okay to divide because of an opinion. You see, I had the good brother read just a moment ago how good and how pleasant it is for God's people to dwell or to live together in unity. God expected us as a church family, not only here but all over the world, to live together united. To not be bickering and fighting. And, you know, Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, right before he went to the cross, that we would all be one. He never, ever wanted us to be split and splintered and bicker and argue and differ. He never wanted that. He never intended for that. But I'm afraid sometimes difficult times brings that out in people. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and I know a lot of people at a lot of other churches, and I've heard so many things about people and their disagreements during this time period. But you see, we've got to be different, right? I found this picture online, and I guess that was probably an article, but we are to be a unique people. We are a chosen generation, Peter says, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. We're a holy nation. We're separated. We're different than everybody else. But sometimes we don't act like it. And that's truly sad. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul here is dealing with the very same thing that we're talking about this morning. He says, I beseech you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no division among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. He says, verse 11, For I've heard. What was he saying? People are talking. He said, I've heard through the household of Chloe that there are contentions among you. There are division among you. There are disagreements that have been allowed to bring you to a place that you don't need to be. And he says, you can't do that. He says, you cannot be divided. And their problem, well, they were men followers. He says, some says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Jesus. And they were divided. And they did not come together like God had intended them to come together. And I'm afraid if we're not careful, the same admonition could be given unto us. Now, I want to look at what we're dealing with right now. Right now. There's a huge battle within this country and even within the church. Is this virus real? Well, Jeff, didn't you just announce some people that have the virus? And he didn't announce all the people from this congregation that have the virus. And I know so many people right now, friends, and I know some people, I know them very well, they've been very, very sick. And they almost lost their battle with this thing. Is it real? Yeah. Has it been politicized? Yeah. Can't both be true? I mean, honestly, can't both be true? Yeah. And you know, it's time that we wake up and we see that. It's not just something that, you know, is just here just to get somebody beat or somebody elected. It's much more than that. Yes, they're using it for that, but it's much more than that. What about these masks? Boy, I don't know about you, but I hate them. I don't know anybody that likes them, right? No one. And there's been a huge disagreement over whether or not you wear this little mask. Well, what does the Bible have to say about that? I'll wait. You can answer me whenever you figure it out. Doesn't say, does it? Doesn't say. Can I have a different opinion when it comes to this mask in the secular world as I have within the church? I would hope so. There are things that I would not tolerate in the secular world that perhaps I would choose to submit to in my religious circle. So you say, what do you mean by that? Well, the Bible over and over again tells us that we are to be a submissive people, that we are not to be a people that demand our rights and demand our way. Well, I live in a free nation, and I think outside in this world, I should be able to choose whether or not I wear this mask to Kroger. Now, I went to Kroger yesterday, and I had to wear the mask. I didn't like it. First time I've ever wore one outside of this assembly. I didn't like it, but I chose to go ahead and to submit to it. But when I come into this assembly, the decision has been made that perhaps this is the best way for us to go for right now. And we're going to talk a lot about that here in just a moment. We can't let a little piece of cloth divide the church. You realize that? And some people are. And there are people all over the brotherhood says, I'm not coming back till you get rid of the masks. Boy, I don't know about you. I don't want to stand on the day of judgment with that. I don't want to go before God and say, God, I demanded my rights. And I was not going to worship you like I should and where I needed to be because I didn't want to wear a mask. Boy, I don't want to do that. You don't either. I mean, really, we don't want to do that. You can hate these things. You can disagree with the decision to wear these things, but you cannot divide the church over these things. You cannot. What about service times? I don't really like coming at 11 o'clock. And I told Jeff today, he said, just be me and you. I said, well, I might go on home. He said, oh, no. I'll be here at 11 o'clock, Lord willing. But you know, we do what we have to do, right? There's been a huge argument and disagreement. Do we always have to be here in person or is it okay to worship at home? And where do you go to a scripture to find that? The command is there to worship. And you know, there's not even a church building in the Bible. You won't find one. Different times call for different things. What about Sunday night and Wednesday night? People say, you've got to have those things. Some say you don't need to have those things. Isn't that up to the discretion of the elders? What about all the extra activities? What about, if Chase is going to do this or that with the kids? You know, we can't do everything perhaps the way we did earlier. And some people say, oh, yeah, you can. And some say, no, you can't. But we can't let those things divide us. I want to show you something. I had this printed out at home, and I had it laying there to bring with me, and I left it laying at home. This is the newsletter from India for last month. Just got it a few days ago. You know, and we say this is the virus that's politicized here in our country, and if the news is controlling all of it, well, here we are in India. This is coming straight from our brethren that we support. And they don't, most of those people don't have a TV. They don't know what's going on in a lot of the world. But here's the whole gist of it. The virus is running rampant in India. The virus is in Brother B. Ratnam's household. Now, Brother B.'s gone now. But one of his daughters has it right now. His son, Brother John Ratnam, is very concerned because he had a liver transplant a couple years ago. And he's afraid he's going to get this thing, and he knows that his work is so vital. And he says they've had to drop their assemblies to 30 to 40%. Now you say, well, I can't believe that. I can't either. Because, man, I have been there and I have seen these people. And we're going to look here in just a second. They've endured so much persecution. In fact, look at this. Here's our Indian brethren and what's on their face. They're outside. They're wearing masks. But I want you to look at this. I want you to listen to this. It says, dear brethren, this year in the first 6 months, social outcast. What that means is once you become a Christian, you are cast out of the social circle. You can no longer be a part of that family. He says, murders, tortures, and beatings against Christians have crossed or have exceeded 135 people in the first 6 months of this year. And he says, this COVID virus has made it worse. Because now people are not working, and now these Hindu extremists they're not busy, so they've got more time to terrorize people. And people are losing their lives and getting beat and all of these things. They have to endure so much, but yet they're having to endure the same virus we are. They're having to take the same precautions we are. And this newsletter always says there's some places that they're not even meeting in person. You realize that? You mean they can endure being beaten and tortured and killed, but they're allowing this virus to change their assembly times? It's difficult times. It's tough. No one has all the answers. Now, these guys can whip me, but I got their picture up there. I want you to think about these six men here for just a moment. I'm not a flattery type person. Ask my wife. I just say what I mean what I say. I'm not trying to get a raise. I could care less about money. But I want you to think about these guys for just a moment. I want you to think about these guys since March the 1st. March the 3rd, we had a devastating tornado, right? And all of these things that happen and all of the decisions that goes along with that. And then we're in the midst of a preacher transition. And then right on the heels of that, a virus comes in that no one knows what to do about. I sat right here last week and we talked about this, me and these guys, and they said, it's hard to know what to do when everything you hear is different every day. Isn't that true? But here's what I want us to do. I want us just for a second to try to put ourselves in their shoes. What would you do? You'd say, well, I do. No, you don't know what you would do. We're going to talk about that. You don't know what you would do. I want you to think about the tremendous stress that is on these guys in normal times, pre-March, when things were really good. There's no division here. I mean, it's unified. Everybody's happy and it's good. And you know, it was a lot easier to be an elder then, although it was still very difficult. But man, these guys are responsible for so much. And here's what the Bible has to say about that. Obey them that have the rule over you. obey them and submit yourselves. Why? Because they watch for your souls. They've got to give account for your souls. And they need to be able to do that with joy and not with grief, because that would be unprofitable for you. Let's break that down just a little bit. Obey them. Obey them. What does that mean? We understand what it means, right? I mean, I don't think there's a person of a rational mind here that doesn't understand what obey means. But just to make it abundantly clear, obey means to listen to yield to, or to comply with in the Greek. That's what it means. Rule. They have the rule over you and me. Rule means they have the authority. As long as it comes to Scripture, they have the authority. Now, they can't violate Scripture and me going along with it, and you and I understand that. That's not what the lesson's about. But they have the authority over me. I am to submit. What does that mean? The word, according to Thayer, means to resist no longer or to surrender. Well, what am I surrendering to? Their cause of judgment. Let me ask you something. How many people in here want to have 450 to 500 critics every day? I don't see any hands flying up, are there? Can you imagine trying to make decisions to please that many people? My family can't even decide where to go eat on a Friday night. I mean, can yours? You know, it's a battle, you know, whatever, and then we don't like who our picks, and that's kind of the way it is. But can you imagine trying to make a decision to please that many people? That's impossible, isn't it? There's always going to be someone that doesn't agree with what you say, and you know what? Again, that's okay. But you cannot divide over it. You cannot divide over it. God has commanded each one of us to obey and to submit to these guys when it comes to matters of judgment. You know what? This is a matter of judgment. That's all it is. It's just a simple matter of judgment. And that leaves me with the responsibility to whether or not I'm going to obey the command. And I think you know what happens when you don't. Keep going. They watch for your souls. The word watch means to be sleepless, to keep awake, to stay attentive. You know how many elders I've talked to over the years that have told me how it's hard to sleep? They go home and they've got the weight of the church on their shoulders, and they know things that the rest of us don't know. You realize that? These six guys, they know things that the rest of us don't have a clue about. And everybody that's having a problem or a difficulty in every situation that's dealt with, they're dealing with it, and we go home and sit on the couch. They lose sleep. Not only that, they've got to give account. Now, on the day of judgment, I'm going to go stand before God, and I'm going to give account of me. And maybe you're different than me, but I feel like that's more than enough. Because I know me. I know all my shortcomings. I know all my difficulties. I know everything in my life. And standing before the Lord giving account of me is enough for me. You know, these guys are going to stand before the Lord and they're going to give account of every one of us. And those of you that are watching by way of live streaming, wherever it is that you attend, your elders are going to give account of each one of you. And that is a scary thought. And I've often said, why would anyone want to be an elder? Man, I don't want to be responsible for everybody else. Do you? Well, you might if you truly love the church and you love the people. But you see, I think sometimes the problem throughout the brotherhood is there's a multitude of places that don't have elders. And a preacher friend of mine asked me, I believe it was last year, he said, why do you think all these places don't have elders? And I said, I've thought about it a lot. I think people want to have their own say, but nobody wants to take responsibility. And I stand by that. It is a massive responsibility to be in eldership. Massive. We need to understand that. We need to respect that. We want, and I would hope every one of us wants, to be a joy to that leadership. You know, I've heard elders talk before throughout the years, and they would talk about a certain member, and they would say, man, it is easy to be an elder over that member. They just do what's right. They stay in their lane. They don't cause any problems. Man, it's just a joy to be an elder over that person. There are some people on the day of judgment that, and I believe that we could go up before the Lord and we could say, I'll stand beside this guy or this girl because, man, they've just been a joy to dwell with. They've been a joy to serve with, and it's just been a wonderful thing. And I hope each one of us would say we want to not be a grievance to our eldership. Sometimes we are, aren't we? Sometimes we are. Sometimes we bicker and fuss and complain. And sometimes we like to make trouble because we want our way. And Christianity is not a Burger King religion. You don't get to have it your way. Never has been, never will be. In fact, the Scripture says when we do those things, it is unprofitable for us. If we become a grievance to the eldership, wherever it is that you may attend, it's very unprofitable. You, what does that mean? Proverbs 6:16, the Bible says there's six things that the Lord hates. I want you to get that just for a second. There's six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. He goes on to say, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. But he goes on to the last one, number seven, in verse 19. One who sows discord among the brethren. Did we get that? The seventh thing that the Lord despises, that He hates, that is an abomination before His presence, is to be a grievance to the church. Is to cause problems. Is to stir up trouble. Is to try to have your own opinion heard above everyone else. The Lord hates it. He despises it. And I know you don't want that. And I know I don't want that. And I don't want it to come to that here. Willow Avenue is a great place. Great place. And we've got to be careful. Because you see, sometimes we allow the outside world to creep in. And all the arguments and bickering that's going on outside, we need to leave them outside. And we should never bring them in here. You see, sometimes the problem with all of this is we like to be the armchair quarterback. You've heard that, right? The Monday morning quarterback. The backseat driver. Someone that's got all the answers when they're not dealing with the issues. I made this statement when all this started. When people were starting to bicker, not here, but other places, were starting to bicker and fuss, and I said, it's easier to make the decision when you aren't the one making the decision. And I stand beside that. And I always will. Because it's always easier to sit back and criticize than it is to stand up and do the hard things. Don't lose sight of that. Don't ever lose sight of that. This is my last slide. You've heard it said over and over, or maybe on a TV or whatever in the news, we're all in this thing together, and together we're going to beat it. But you know there's a lot of truth to that. But bring it into the church. The only way we're going to come out on the other side of this thing better is together. That's it. You can't come out better if you're divided. But don't you think about this? You realize we're all in the same boat? Do you realize that this thing that we're dealing with right now has affected every person in this assembly? Every person watching today, live streaming, every person around the world, you have been affected by this. I've had people tell me, you know, they've lost work. They've had their pay cut. They've not been able to get the things that they need to do their job. You know, it's just a struggle. You can't get in to see your doctor. You can't. I mean, it's just It's complete chaos in the world today, but it's affecting every one of us. Not one of us is exempt. And since we realize that, why can't we as a church now pull together even closer than we ever have before to make sure we come out on the other side of this thing better and stronger? James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith..." Brethren, if this is not a test of our faith, I don't know what it is. He says the testing of our faith produces patience. And if we'll let patience alone, and we will become a complete, a mature, a perfect Christian. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what we want as a whole? Is to come together and to be a complete unit. To function together just like we were intended to be. The only way we can do that is we've got to leave our opinions at the door, and we've got to focus on what's most important. And what's most important is serving the Lord. And if it infringes on something that we don't like, you know, oh well, we just need to get over it for a little while and get through this. And then maybe we won't have to do all these things that we don't like anymore. I want to ask you this morning. Maybe some of you say that, well, that's kind of a harsh sermon. I had a lady one time, an older lady, she's gone now, but she told me, she come out to the door and she says, "That was a good sermon," she said, "but you won't win any popularity contest." I said, "Well, I appreciate that." And maybe this is the case. But I want you to think serious about it. Paul said in Galatians 4, verse 16, "Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth?" I hope not. Never intended to be. But I think all of us, if we will be open and honest, we can say that this is a problem throughout all the world. And it's a problem that needs to be dealt with. Maybe this morning you've been part of the problem instead of part of the solution. You know, I said the solution's easy. Just try to get through it. There's no biblical mandate on how to get through a time like this. It's difficult. It's hard. But we will get through it. And maybe this morning, if you have acted in a way or you've done something in a way that you need to make right, I beg you to do that this morning. Don't leave here and put it off. Don't leave here mad at me. Just get it right with God. Because I'm not preaching this lesson to be popular. I'm preaching this lesson because I want you to go to heaven. It's not easy for me to stand up here and do this. But I want us all to go to heaven. I don't want anybody on the day of judgment to be lost. And I want us to really consider all of these things during this invitation song and think about, am I really right with God? Am I acting in a way through all of these difficult times that everybody's facing that's going to bring joy to my eldership, that's going to bring joy to God? Because if we're not, we've got to do something about it. This morning, if you're not a New Testament Christian, I know the lesson's not been about that, but you can do that this morning. We are ready to assist you. You can listen to what these words say. That's where faith comes from. You can believe it with all your heart. You can repent of those sins, to turn from your past life and get on the path that you need to be on. You can confess His name before whoever will listen. And you can reenact the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in the waters of baptism. You can be saved today. Have your sin forgiven today. I don't know what your need is, but I pray if you've got one, you'll do something about it while together we stand and while we sing.